I believe the final call would be in the hands of the government and Lisa McLeod. So, you know, she has made it clear that that's what she's pushing for. But, yes, it is not official until it's official and until they drop the puck in February, even if that happens at all. Here's our NFL insider from NBC, Peter King. How you doing, Peter?
Good. And I love being introduced with the with some hockey talk. Let's talk hockey.
Well, there's a big story going on up here in the Ontario Hockey League, which I know you're familiar with. That's basically a stepping stone towards the NHL. It's as good as it gets. It's the best junior league in the world. They're
debatable.
Better than the WHL. Well, right there with the WHL, but better than the Quebec League. We got one guy who's a WHL alumnus and two guys who played in the OHL,
yeah.
And both equal legacies in the OHL, just for your understanding, yeah. Peter. And they're saying they might return to play, but without body contact because of COVID,
wow.
Which is not going over so well here.
It's a
joke. I guess there's a parallel with college football, right, where they were either just going to get rid of it, or if they're coming back to play, they're going to play. And that's what they've been doing in college football. They're playing the real game of football.
You know, I don't know how you're going to play hockey without people touching each other. I mean, you know, how is that possible, really? It seems like maybe you ought to wait until you can actually play the game that is the real game. I don't
exactly.
know. But you know
exactly.
What? You know what they found? I'll tell you what they found in the NFL, at least so far. You know, the Tennessee Titans have this, you know, before they had the outbreak, they went and played the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota, and they played a full game. And not a soul on the Minnesota Vikings tested positive for COVID. And after that game, 21 additional people in the Titans organization, players and staff, tested positive. And so the one thing that it's a few other things. It isn't only that, but one of the big things that the NFL has found so far is that there's very little evidence that COVID is passed between people in a physical activity like the sport of football. It's, you know, because what that is, it's a 5-second contact between, say, an offensive lineman and defensive lineman, close contact, intense contact, and then they're apart from each other for the next minute, you know, and then they do it again, and then they maybe do it again, and then they go to the sidelines for 7 minutes, and then they come back and they do it again. So the current intelligence that the NFL is working on is that it isn't close contact for multiple close contacts for very short periods of time that cause this transmission and the exchange of the virus. You have to actually be with somebody or in close contact in a meeting room or somewhere on a field for some period of time. And that's when you really, are in danger of passing COVID to somebody else.
Well, there's obviously a big relation to COVID and the future of the NFL with the news that Trevor Lawrence has tested positive. And I know you're an NFL guy, but I'm sure you've been tracking this story. Do you think there's
yeah.
a chance he won't play again at Clemson? You know, could he just sit out and say, it's not worth it, I'm done, and I'm going first overall anyway. I'll see you in New York.
I don't think so. I think the general perception about Trevor Lawrence, both at Clemson and among people who know him outside of Clemson, believe that the guy really loves playing football. And, you know, unless he suffers some sort of, he has a serious case of COVID and is hospitalized with it, let's just say, which isn't often the case with young people, but it's possible that he most likely is going to come back and play. I have not heard many people who say, well, that's it for him, he's now going in the draft. I've probably heard more that he might seriously consider coming back if he doesn't want to go play for Team X, you know, like the Jets, for instance, which is so, I mean, I would not criticize him for saying, I'm not going to go play for the Jets. And if he doesn't, all the power to him. And, and have maybe the Jets will be forced to trade him somewhere or trade his rights to somebody else. But the problem, honestly, with sort of trying to pick your team in the NFL, honestly, is, you know, how often has it happened and will it work? And, you know, to me, the only way it can work is if there is a willing partner to say to the New York Jets, hey, we'll give you 4 first-round draft choices for your the number one pick in the draft. And, you know, I'll tell you this right now. Joe Douglas, who's the general manager of the Jets, is a lifelong personnel dude. And if somebody said to him, we'll give you 4 ones for your first pick in the draft, I think he would be extraordinarily tempted to take it, because he would figure that, you know, the odds say that 2 of those 4 would become franchise players for you. You know, the cornerstone players for you to turn this franchise around. Then you'd have to hope that Sam Darnold could be a good quarterback for you. But anyway, I'm spitballing here, but I'm saying that I think the best opportunity for the Jets would be to hold an auction for that pick, if indeed they end up picking number one, which I think most people feel they probably will.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to change this weekend with them at Kansas City.
No.
I don't think they're going to start turning things around, but we're about 90 minutes outside of Buffalo, and we can pick up on the anxiety all week because Belichick and the Pats are rolling into town. First time in 20 years without Brady. First time in maybe 20 years where the Bills are absolutely expected to win this game and expected to win the division. Yet the Pats have lost 3 in a row. I just read that Edelman obviously not playing. Harry will not be there as well. So the two
and
big
Kiel
weapons.
Harry, yeah, their top 2 receivers are not playing in the game.
Right. So it in you would think, if you're being sensible, you're like, wow, that benefits the Bills. But when you're a fan of a team that finds a way to lose and has had so many issues, and I know it as a fan of many teams here in the Toronto scene, it actually adds more pressure. Because you're like, now we're really supposed to win. Like, you've got to win, and they better win. Because if Belichick finds a way to solve them this weekend, they are going to be in full-out panic mode in Buffalo.
Well, right, and rightfully so, because, look, what is different about the Bills in the last 2 or 3 weeks? In my opinion, what is different is that Josh Allen is not the phenom that he was in the first month of the season. Why is that? I don't know. When I watch him, he looks the same. But I think one of the things about Josh Allen is that he underwent a transformative change in the off season with his throwing mechanics. Okay. And I think you'd probably have to ask a real mechanic of the position whether Josh Allen has reverted to 2018 or 19 form, which caused him, quite honestly, to reach out to his own quarterback coach in the off season, Jordan Palmer, and to Tony Romo, who is a QB mechanic guy of the first order. And essentially, I think if he regresses, the Bills are, you know, 9-7, 10-6 type team. They might win the division, but I don't think they'll go very far. They need their quarterback to be a big time playmaker to win games, because they don't have the best defense in the league. They're going to need to score some points, you know, every Sunday for them to win. So, look, I think the way the Patriots are going to play this game is I think Josh McDaniels is going to put the ball in Cam Newton's hands. And even if he has to run 20 times on Sunday, I think this is going to be a tight end running back and Cam Newton type game for the Patriots, because they simply do not have the weaponry on offense to scare anybody. And that's why, to me, I think that Cam Newton has got to really take this game on his shoulders. And if they have any chance to win, it's got to be a classic old-fashioned Cam Newton game.
Peter, another intriguing matchup is Pitt-Baltimore. You got Big Ben and Lamar. Yeah. One guy can hardly run, and one guy runs all over the field. How do you see that matchup playing out?
Well, I mean, what's really interesting about this game, at least the way I kind of look at it right now, is that Baltimore is a game behind Pittsburgh right now. And not only that, Baltimore has a significantly more challenging schedule down the stretch than Pittsburgh has. So I think if they fall two games behind, it's going to be really, really hard for them to win this division. And then Baltimore would have to be then, at best, the fifth seed in the AFC. I mean, look at Baltimore's schedule after they face Pittsburgh. Okay, they've already had their bye. So they go at Indianapolis, at New England, Tennessee at home, at Pittsburgh on our Thanksgiving night, and then, you know, Dallas, which ought to be pretty easy, and then at Cleveland, which I can't predict Cleveland. Nobody can. And then the last 3 weeks, they have a pretty easy schedule, as does Pittsburgh. But to me, I think it's going to be really, really – this is a – I think it's a much bigger game for Baltimore than it is for Pittsburgh. It means more to Baltimore. And, you know, we might have talked about this last week. I forget. But here's what is so interesting to me about the value that Baltimore places on this game. So about 8 days ago, 9 days ago now, Eric DaCosta, the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens, was having conversations about a trade with Rick Spielman, the general manager of the Vikings. And what he said is, he said, look, if we get Yannick Ngakoue, if we're going to trade for him, we need to have this trade done by Thursday day. And Spielman said, why? And he goes, we want to get Yannick Ngakoue in Baltimore by Thursday night. And the reason that that was important is that in the NFL right now, you need 5 days of negative COVID tests before a guy can join your team, be in your locker room, be in team meetings. So, you know, they wanted to, for him to have his first test on Friday morning. So that would mean Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. In most NFL camps, the work week starts on Wednesday morning. So if Yannick Ngakoue would have been able to take 5 COVID tests and he passed all of them, he would be able to join the team with all privileges and be able to go anywhere in the building and basically be a member of the team starting on Wednesday. That's exactly what happened. And that tells me the Baltimore Ravens want Yannick Ngakoue to be a full participant against the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's not coming in and playing 10 or 15 snaps. I think he starts the game and plays a huge role in this game. That's how important this game is to Baltimore. And, you know, the sort of the headline aspect is obviously Lamar Jackson. He needs to play big in big games. And that's good, you know, because he's obviously spit the bit in a couple of playoff games so far. This is the kind of game that the Ravens need Lamar Jackson to come through big time in.
It's going to be a fun weekend like it always is. Enjoy it, Peter. We'll read your stuff on Monday morning. We'll do this again next Friday. Thank you for this.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Peter King from the NFL and NBC. Yeah, that is a big game because it really is all about Lamar Jackson. I mean, Roethlisberger's won Super Bowls. He's done it before, and he's undefeated this year. The biggest game,
really good, too.
And he's looked very good. The whole team has looked good. The biggest game of the year in terms of marquee moments was Kansas City-Baltimore, and the Chiefs rolled in there and laid a beating on them. And now it's time for redemption if you're Baltimore. And Jackson better show up. He was not good in that game. He's not been good in playoff games. Man, he can carve up the Bengals, but can you beat the best teams in the biggest moments? We'll find out this weekend.